What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. And today I've got a fire episode for you. I know that it's fire because I can actually feel the fire burning within me. Not really, but it's actually an important conversation that we need to have. I want to apologize in advance. If you can hear any background noise, it's because there is currently construction outside of my house. I think it was last winter, we had a situation in our backyard where there was a canopy type of like overhang thing that provides shade to our outside patio. And they warned us, the canopy company warned us that it could collapse in a snowstorm. And we were like, yeah, we'll be fine. And then it collapsed in a snowstorm. So now we have some work being done so that we can actually have shade, although it's kind of interesting timing because the summer is already past now and the weather is pretty shitty right now. It's been nonstop rain. But anyway, we're going to have that done. So there's a lot of noise out back and it is not going well for the dogs. I would say the ones that are the most impacted are Leia and Preston. Especially Leia. Leia is our pitty. She's a full pit. Preston is a pit mix. He's part feist, part pit. Anyway, Leia's 3, Preston's 4. Leia will be 4 in January. Preston will be 5 in February. Anyway, Leia is a pit, and you know, pit, the breed has this reputation of being like vicious and badass, and I don't know where that comes from because she's literally afraid of her own shadow. She is the sweetest dog in the world. They both are. But Leia, just like, she would never harm a fly, and she's legitimately afraid of everything. And she's like close to 100 pounds. And it's really funny because it's not so funny, but it is kind of funny that she's afraid of the rain. She's afraid of like the wind. She's afraid of the rain. Like, she does not like any weather outside of like sunny, perfect day. Otherwise, it's frightening for her. It's tough to be a 3-year-old pit bull in the rain. I can only imagine the stress that causes. But you add on top of that people outside doing work, and it's just like fear overload for Leia. So in order to compensate, she decides I could either brave the elements and go deal with the people, or I can just shit in the house. And Leia, bless her heart, she is choosing to shit in the house. So she's the one that's influenced the most by this. If you follow me on Instagram, you will mostly see Leia and Preston. Every once in a while, you'll get some kind of nutrition or mindset tidbit. But for the most part, you're following for Leia and Preston. They steal the show because they are so damn perfect. It's ridiculous. They are so damn cute. Even when she shits in the house, it's still okay. I can't stay mad at her. I want to be mad. And then I look at her face and then she kisses my face. And then the anger just disappears. It's gone. I can't stay mad at that beautiful face. Anyway, what are we talking about today? I think we have something valuable to say, hopefully. We're going to talk about calories. That's it, just calories. If you enjoy the episode, I have to say this. I don't really have to, but I want to because this is important. This podcast is important to me, and reaching more people is important to me. And the way that we do that is by your contribution. You write a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and you talk about how it's so valuable to hear somebody talking about their dog shitting in the house that you have to listen to the show, and you leave a 5-star rating and review. And then you also can post a screenshot of the episode to your stories on Instagram and tag me at coach_Mike_Milner. Now, I will say this. The 5-star rating is more valuable. The screenshot and story post on Instagram is more enjoyable for me. I love to see who's listening. I love to see what episodes are resonating. And yes, I look at all the downloads, statistics and shit like that, but I don't care. I mean, I do care about it, but I care more about, like, what am I seeing that's more tangible? And I can actually see that, oh, you took the time to post this to your story and tag me. It must have been something in there that resonated with you. And that I find to be very enjoyable. So if you don't mind, take a screenshot if this is helpful in any way and post it to your stories. Tag me at @coach_Mike_Milner. All right, let's talk about calories. We're going to talk about the conundrum of calorie counting. How's that for alliteration? The calorie counting conundrum. The thing about tracking calories and counting calories is that it is one method that can work, and it does work until it doesn't. And it's a lot of times it's a source of frustration. A lot of times it's a source of confusion. A lot of times people don't know whether they should or should not be tracking. A lot of times people who are tracking don't know if they're tracking correctly. A lot of times people who are tracking correctly don't know if they are tracking the right things for them. Like, am I actually following a plan that is right for me? And so in my experience, I have been doing this for a very long time. I've got over a decade in the game, and a lot of that time has been spent working with calories and macros from my own personal perspective and my own journey, and then also in working with clients first as a nutrition coach for another company that was fully macro and calorie based, and then obviously starting POP. We have a lot of clients that track macros and calories. We have a lot that don't. We have a lot in between, and I'm going to talk about that. But here's, in my experience, there are three common issues when it comes to counting calories. The first issue that comes up for most people, and you can kind of place yourself in one of these tiers, or you've probably experienced multiple. The first issue that comes up with somebody who is ready to dive into the world of calorie counting is, number one, I have no idea where to start. That is the first problem that typically comes up. The second problem is, I have no idea if the plan that I'm following is the right plan for me. And we're going to dive into these in more detail, but that's usually issue number two. And the third one, which I'm sure a lot of you will resonate with, the third one is, I was making a lot of progress and I didn't change anything, but all of a sudden my progress came to a screeching halt. Like, what the fuck? I don't know what happened. I was doing well. I was seeing changes. I was progressing. And then all of a sudden it stopped, and I didn't do anything different. So I'm really confused as to why that happened. So if any of those three are something that you've experienced, then you're going to want to pay attention, because we're going to break these down. But before we go into detail with each one, I want to start with the question, should you be tracking calories? How do we know? Should you be tracking? Should you not be tracking? And of course, we know the answer. It depends, but it's a preference-based question. It's really important to understand preference-based questions, because there is no right or wrong. You can state your case. You can try to argue that your opinion is fact. And a lot of people get off on doing that. A lot of people have fun doing that. And, you know, of course, when you're with friends, that's typically where you see it, where it's like, you know, what type of beer is best or whatever. I don't know. Whatever you talk about. Like, what are three foods that you would take on a desert island? And you say you're three, and then somebody argues with you as if there's a right answer. They're like, what? You would take French fries on a desert island? You would take watermelon on a desert island? I'm just naming some of mine. And they're like, no, that's incorrect. You're like, actually, it's preference-based. You know, should I, if someone were to ask me, like, what's the best condiment? And I would say ketchup. That's preference-based. So we have to understand that this is a preference-based question. When it comes to counting calories, what is your preference? Not just your preference for the method that you use, but also your preference for what you're trying to achieve. Are you trying to lose body fat? I think it's very easy to just say yes. But actually, is that your goal? Is that your preference? Do you really want to lose body fat? Because it comes with certain things that you have to do. There are certain changes that have to be made, right? By definition, you're trying to achieve something that you don't currently have. By definition, you have to be doing something. You have to start doing something that you're not currently doing. You have to make a change, right? Nothing changes if nothing changes. So do you really want that? Is that your preference? Is your preference to lose body fat? Do you want to achieve a certain body composition? Are you trying to get leaner? Are you trying to get more fit? Are you trying to get stronger? Are you trying to get healthier? Do you want your clothes to fit better? Do you want to like what you see in the mirror? Do you want to look better naked? These are all preference-based questions, like what three foods would you bring on a desert island? I would go with French fries, watermelon, or maybe mango, because I want a fruit. I really like fruit. I can't decide. I feel like if we're talking like in season prime of both fruits, I think mango, but I feel like it's a lot easier to get a shitty mango than it is to get a shitty watermelon. So that's tough. But if we're talking about like in the prime season and the perfect ripeness, I have to go mango, slight edge. So I would go French fries, mango, and ice cream. That's my desert island. Not a lot of protein in there, but it's okay because I'm on a desert island and nobody can see me anyway. And if they do, then I'm saved. And then when I get home, I can start eating protein again. So that's what we're going with. Anyway, preference. So if you have those preferences, losing body fat, getting leaner, getting stronger, looking better naked, all that, then you will probably want to track and count calories for at least a short period of time, because awareness is key. We can only make changes if we're aware of what we're changing, right? You don't know what you don't know. So you can't change something when you're not aware of it. It's obvious, but we have to have some level of awareness with how much you're eating and what kind of foods you're eating on a regular basis. It's like, I always use the budgeting example because it's really easy to paint this picture. Do you want to save or invest more money? If yes, again, preference-based question. If yes, then you probably need some awareness around how much you're spending, how much you're earning. And that's the same thing with calorie counting. It's just like budgeting. It's not the only way, but it is a specific way to do it, and it's an effective way to do it. So we understand the preference. If you have no interest in that, then great. Don't do it. Like if you have no interest in getting leaner, if you have no interest in changing your body, if you have no interest in getting healthier, whatever. Now, I'm not saying that calorie counting and health go hand in hand. It can be a means to an end. And that's what it is for most people. A lot of people don't view it as something they have to do forever. They view it as something they do for a short period of time for a specific objective. And really it's learning. You're learning how to do something so that you can take that thing away and still accomplish the goal through, you know, more awareness around food quality and healthy habits and, you know, proper nutrition and portion sizes and, you know, how you distribute your meals, all these different things that you can learn, how to read labels. And then you have the habits, you have the foundation in place, and you can remove the method of tracking. And one thing that's really important to remember, tracking, just like everything, we have this inherent bias as humans where we love to view things in this binary way. We all do it. I do it. I'm as guilty as anybody. We view things binary, this or that. It's all or nothing. It's black or white. And I'd be willing to say that nothing is black and white. Nothing is binary. I know it's a bold statement, and I'm sure that somebody could prove me wrong here. So let me just soften that a little bit. I'm willing to say that most things, the majority of things, are on a spectrum. And there's a lot of middle ground that we love to ignore. You know, when you look at your nutrition and you're like, I did really well today, or I did terribly today. You oftentimes are giving yourself an A or an F, and you forget that there's all these other grades in between. We do this with everything. That's an inherent human bias. It's this or that, you know? You're a Republican or Democrat, you're conservative or liberal, you're whatever or whatever. Like, we never recognize that there is this spectrum that exists, and we don't have to be all of one thing. It's not all or nothing. So what I mean by that is you don't have to choose between tracking every single piece of food that goes into your mouth versus tracking absolutely nothing. There is this whole world of gray in the middle. And in fact, we found that most of our clients do really well in the middle. Like, that seems to be the sweet spot. And we've been able to help at this point well over 1,000 people. I think we're in the thousands throughout the history of POP. Thousands of transformations where individuals have completely changed their body composition, improved their relationship with food. They've created a lifestyle that they feel confident living forever. And we've had results all across the board, from clients losing over 100 pounds or clients losing just a few pounds, but actually improving their body composition and getting stronger. And we've had everything in between. Like, legitimately everything across the spectrum, the entire spectrum of results, we've done it. And what I can say is that most of those results happened by finding the middle ground that worked for each individual. And that just emphasizes the fact that this is a preference-based game that we are playing. We're not playing a black and white game. We're not playing a you have to follow these rules game. Trust me, I've been a part of those games before, and they suck. If you are playing the you have to follow these rules type of game, that is a losing game every time, because it's taking something that's preference based and it's making it mandatory. It's making it would be like, all right, you're going to be on a desert island, and here are your three foods that you're getting. You don't get to pick your three foods. You're getting what I say, or, you know, you have to, you know, eat a certain way. You have to follow this plan and follow it this way. That we like, that's the opposite of preference based. Anyway, the awareness piece of how much you're eating and what you're eating on a regular basis is incredibly helpful. And we know that, right? If you have goals like fat loss and strength and performance and body comp and health, we know that it's helpful. We also know that you don't have to do it forever. And we also know that you don't have to be all or nothing with it. And those are really the fundamental truths that I wanted to mention before we jump into these three issues that many people face. So you have that frame. That frame is super important. You have to have the frame of, why are you doing this? Like, what's the, you know, your preference? Why are you doing this? Understand that, is it a means to an end? And understand that you don't have to be all or nothing. So first thing, where do I start? It's the first question. And here's why this is a problem. Because most programs or calculators, they have no clue where you are right now in this moment. They have no idea. So what happens is you get a starting point based on where they think you should be right now. But that's a complete guess, and it has no basis in any sort of relevant information. Like, it would be the equivalent of hiring somebody to help you with your budget, and they're like, great, we're going to give you the best budget ever. And they just assume that you're making 100 grand a year because that's what they think you should be making, but you're actually only making 75,000 a year. That's what most of these programs and online calculators are doing. They're going to throw out a starting point, and it will be the same starting point for every single person that is close to your age, weight, height, activity level. So they're taking this sliver of information and they're extrapolating it across anyone who fits into that mold. So it's basically creating a non-preference-based starting point based on where they think you should be. Hopefully that makes sense. But that's the problem. That's part one of the calorie counting conundrum, is your body doesn't care what should be. Your body only cares what is. So let's say you're eating 3,000 calories per day. You sign up for this cookie cutter macro program and they prescribe you with 2,000 calories a day. Well, they may assume that your maintenance is 2,300. Like, they think that's where you should be. So they're like, oh, you know, this calculation, usually it's automated. So it's like, this calculation is going to generate a modest deficit based off of where they think you should be, right? So in their mind, they're giving you a 300 calorie deficit. But what's actually happening is they're giving you a 1,000 calorie deficit, which is pretty extreme. And it's adding more stress to your system that isn't necessary. And that typically doesn't end well. If you pile on unnecessary stress in a situation that you are already volunteering for some stress, right? Let's just call it what it is. Losing fat is a stress on the system. You are voluntarily eating less. Having less energy coming in is a stressor. So you're volunteering for that, and then you're getting an extreme version of that. It typically doesn't end well, because there will be hormonal implications. There will be mental and emotional implications. And there's a reason why most people gain all the weight back in those scenarios. But let's also say that you come in under eating. Let's say you're only eating 1,400 calories per day, and this program or calculator tells you 2,000 calories a day, because once again, they think that you should be at 2,300. So they're like, hey, we're giving you, this calculation is giving you a modest deficit, when in reality, they're giving you a surplus. When in reality, they're giving you a 600 calorie surplus from what you were doing. So you start to gain weight, you get pissed off, and then you go back to what you were previously doing. That typically doesn't end well. So how do we solve problem number one? Where do I start? The answer is pretty simple. You start exactly where you are. You don't change a fucking thing. Don't change anything. Just monitor how you normally eat and track it. Figure out what you're eating on a weekly basis. On average, this is the key here. What you do in a single day is largely irrelevant. We want averages over time. So we want to see what's happening on the weekends. Yes, I know. Sometimes that can be scary, but information can help to empower decisions. So understand that we're looking for the weekly average over time. Track what you're currently doing and see what that weekly average looks like. Once we know where you are, then and only then can we decide where you should go. Because if you're consistently overeating and food quality is really poor, then we can take small steps in the right direction. We can find ways to gradually improve your food quality. We might not have to change a thing on quantity. Like, I am a big believer in, let's get the biggest return for the smallest investment of resources. And what do I mean by that? I mean the smallest investment of effort, energy, time, stress. Like, it's like, hey, you know, Jane Doe, you can get the best body composition in the world with just 3 days a week of strength training, but I'm going to prescribe you 7 days a week just because. Like, that wouldn't make sense. So let's use the minimum effective dose. We might be able to make a lot of progress with a small change in food quality. I'm just saying that's a hypothetical example where we don't have to do anything grandiose. We might be able to just gradually improve the quality of the food that you're eating. Or we might have to gradually change the amount that you're eating. If you're consistently under eating, we might gradually increase your calories. We can slowly but surely alleviate the stress on your system that has been created by always being in a calorie deficit. And all of a sudden, your metabolism will thank you. Your hormones will thank you. You feel a million times better. Everyone else in your life will thank you, because now you're going to be more pleasant. You're going to be in a better mood. You're going to show up better for the people you care about. because you're not depriving yourself or starving yourself or stressing yourself out about food anymore. So we can gradually increase to get back to a healthy maintenance level. Now, there's a little bit more tactical information that goes into a starting point, but this should be enough to give you tangible action. We look at things with our clients. We look at things like diet history, current metabolic state, neurotype is a big one. What are your current habits, your current mindset, limiting beliefs, things like that. But let's keep it simple here, because most people jump in and just start following a random ass plan without considering any of their own personal preferences. And that is a huge mistake. And typically that mistake often leads to another mistake down the road, which is problem number two. How do I know if the plan I'm following is right for me? And this is a common issue because most programs, in addition to just starting you off with where they think you should be, they also adjust based off of 1 to 2 metrics. Is the scale going down? Are you getting leaner? I've signed up and tested a bunch of different programs just to see how they work. I wanted to do some market research. I wanted to see for myself. And plus, I've been through, like when I was actually going through my journey, I have done pretty much every fad diet you can imagine. So I have a lot of experience. And then I wanted to see some of the new age debauchery that's out there. So I've signed up for a lot of programs just to test and see. And oftentimes it's legitimately as simple as, oh, your weight didn't change this week, we're going to lower your calories. Like that's it. You put in, you know, here's your check-in. It's usually like an automated app or whatever. You put in your weight and that's basically what they ask you. Like how consistent were you? And then what is your weight? And then it's like, oh, we noticed you didn't lose weight this week. Here are your new calories and macros, and they just lower it. And there's no level of like human interaction. In some cases, it is human interaction, but it's human interaction that's programmed to be like a robot. Here's a little fun fact. A lot of you know me from the previous company that I used to work for. Hopefully you don't, because it's not my proudest moment of being associated with that company, because I very much disagree with their whole philosophy. Now, I didn't know what I didn't know back then. And once I learned and had to hold true to my values and morals, then it was easy. Looking back, I can say with hindsight, I should have never worked for them, but I didn't know anything at the time. And I was just trying to break in and get some experience as a coach. And I met some amazing people, and there's clients that are with us today that found me and connected with me from that place. So there was certainly a lot of good that came out of it, but the way that they coached was just so unfortunate. But it's crazy to say this, but it's true. This is how the coaching process works there. If someone's weight wasn't going down in their check-in file, we would literally click a single button, like one click, and it would auto-populate a message to make it seem like a personal message. And then we would just lower the calorie. So it's basically doing the automated process, but making it seem like it was a human process. So we would click a button, it would auto-populate a message. And then what they would tell us to do is like, you know, type their name in and maybe like add 1 or 2 words so that it's not a complete copy paste, just so that it feels more personal. That was it. That was coaching, apparently. Not good. And there's a reason why. Like, just look at the success rate. There's a reason why nobody is successful on that program, because that, how can you possibly be successful if you're only looking at weight, if you're only looking at one metric and you're following, like this is the epitome of just following a plan that's written for everybody, not a preference-based plan to you, but a plan for everybody. It's the same exact formula, the same process for every single person. That doesn't work. Anyway, so we know we can't just look at your weight. We can't just look at measurements. We can't just look at, you know, progress pictures. We have to understand your body. Your body is pretty damn smart. Your body knows what it wants. Your body knows what it needs. So let's fucking listen, okay? It's crazy how out of tune we get by following what other people think we should be doing, right? Going back to that problem of preference and what you should be doing. Like, your body doesn't care what should be, your body only cares what is. So we have to listen. We listen through biofeedback, hunger signals, energy level, sleep quality, digestion, mood, recovery, sex drive, stress levels, cravings, things that your body will tell us so we know, is this working or is it not working? Yes, of course, we can combine that with some of the objective data, like scale averages, like your measurements, like your progress picks. But then we also have to ask this important question, which is, how does this all fit within your lifestyle? If you're sitting here like, coach, I can follow this plan, but it requires me to completely ignore my family and basically be a hermit for the rest of my life. By the way, that was me. There was a distinct period of time where I could not have a life if I wanted to hit my nutrition goals. Like, I had to say no to everything just for the sake of following a plan. That's a terrible plan. If you have to put your whole life on hold to make it work, it won't last. Now, please understand, like I mentioned, we have this binary bias where you're probably thinking in the extreme other direction. And the answer lies in the middle. Yes, you will have to make sacrifices. Yes, you will have to make changes. So it's not just YOLO, I'm going to eat whatever the fuck I want and get leaner. That's not how this works. But we also don't want to put in everything on hold and remove all joy from life just to hit a nutrition plan. All right. Hopefully that makes sense. Once you have a plan that is right for you, then this often leads to problem number three, which is, man, this plan was working great, but all of a sudden it stopped working. I was making incredible progress and nothing changed. And all of a sudden, bam, my body stopped. It was like, nope, no more. And this is inevitable. I think first and foremost, understand that this will happen. I would love nothing more than to tell you that you can just plug and play and ride this shit out for the rest of your life. That's not how this works, because this little meat suit that we live in is very good at adapting. Your body's main function is to keep you alive, survival. That is what our bodies are built for. And our bodies do a really good job keeping us alive. So your body adapts to the signals that you send it. If you send the signal that not enough energy is coming in, like you're under eating, you're eating in a calorie deficit, your body registers that, your body knows, okay, cool. Not enough energy is coming in. We don't want to starve to death. So let's adapt by downregulating metabolic rate, lowering thyroid, depressing the immune system, lowering sex hormones, things like that. Doesn't happen instantly, but once you've sent a consistent signal that not enough energy is coming in, your body registers that stress. And if the stress persists, your body immediately thinks, okay, it's famine. We're at risk. This is a threat to our survival. Let's make the necessary changes to preserve energy. Body fat is nothing more than stored energy. So if you're preserving energy, you're preserving body fat to keep you alive. If your body can tap into stored energy, you can stay alive longer. It's pretty simple how that works. So just remember that the plan that you initially start with that's working is not your forever plan. So when that plan stops working, instead of being frustrated, just remember, this is what my body's supposed to do. So be grateful for that. Maybe show appreciation for the fact that your body wants to keep you alive and it's taking the necessary steps to do so. Anyway, what do we do about the problem? We act in accordance to how your body adapts, and we do that by operating in phases. This is why I always say, don't pursue fat loss 24/7, 365. Focus on other goals. Like, honestly, the one gift that I wish I could give to everybody is the removal of the focus on fat loss all the time. It's constantly in our minds. It's constantly being marketed to us. It's constantly being sold to us. It's in our faces just nonstop. So I get it. It's hard to avoid. It's hard to get it out of your mind. But one of the, I wish I could give this gift to every person out there, which is stop thinking so much about fat loss. Like, what about the habits that you're building? What about getting stronger? What about building muscle? What about learning how to maintain? What about practicing balance? What about learning moderation? What about having a flexible approach that allows you to enjoy your life? What about your relationship with food? So many people tell me that they're getting in this or they're doing this for their kids. Like, so many people want to set a better example for their kids, which is amazing. And they're like, I have a fucked up relationship with food and I don't want my kid to have a fucked up relationship with food. But hello, now you're pursuing fat loss all the time. What do you think they're observing? They're observing deprivation. They're observing constant restriction. They're observing your negative thoughts around food. You have to be the example. You have to step up, which is why we spend short, focused phases of fat loss, and then we shift gears to make sure that your body feels safe. That's the key thing. If your body senses a threat to your survival, it will respond accordingly. It's really good at that. It's really good at adapting. If your body feels safe, you will have a much, much easier time achieving your goals. So think about sending the safety signal. The safety signal is like you're in this rest and digest mode, parasympathetic mode. You're managing stress. You're recovering well. You're walking. You have some kind of self-care practice. Like, there is a reason why I have been saying on this podcast that there's a massive shift in the supplement industry that's happening that needs to continue to happen, where it's no longer about the amp you up hype. Like, yes, there's still some bros that love that shit. And like, they want coffee that's as strong or pre-workout that's as strong as cocaine or whatever. But we're moving to today's needs, which are more stress focused. We have to find more ways to mitigate stress. We can't eliminate stress, but we can mitigate stress. We can domesticate stress. We can understand where it's coming from and attack it from the perspective of added doses of recovery. There's a reason why everything that I've been adding into my life from a supplement standpoint has been recovery and stress management focused. The latest has been the Serenity Gummies from Cured Nutrition, which I cannot say enough good things about. It is by far my favorite supplement, period, the end. The Serenity Gummies, Mel and I both take them. We take a full serving, which is 2 gummies every single night, part of the wind down routine. We're getting to bed quicker. We're staying asleep longer. We've had better quality sleep. We took them with us to Greece. That's the one supplement I told you. I forgot some stuff on that trip. The one thing that I did not forget, we brought our Serenity Gummies. That's how I literally texted Joe, the owner of Cured, and I was like, dude, your product is so good. Like, the one thing we were like, do we have our passports? Do we have our, you know, bathing suits? Do we have our Serenity Gummies? And I told him it's like on the checklist of most important things to bring. He was laughing, but you have to try it. The Serenity Gummies, they have a microdose of THC, of CBD, they have L-theanine, some functional mushrooms. The combination is brilliant. It will help you wind down, calm your brain, get to bed quicker. Again, it's a very, like, I think serenity is the perfect name. It's a very calming, peaceful state, and I highly recommend it. Go to curednutrition.com. Use code POPFAM at checkout. We have a discount for you on all of their products, unless it's a bundle or something that's like already significantly discounted. But everything on there, for the most part, you can use the POPFAM, POPFAM at checkout. Go to curednutrition.com. Try the Serenity Gummies. I love all of their products, to be honest. We have a bunch of them here because they're really, really fucking good. Highly recommend. So go to curednutrition.com, use code POPFAM, try the Serenity Gummies first, and then explore some other stuff as you wish. But we have to understand that when we go through a fat loss phase, we are inserting stress on the system. So it would make sense that we should shift gears right after that. And we take that short period of stress and then we follow it up with a period of recovery. So your body then feels safe, right? Get back to homeostasis. We do that by fueling for strength and muscle building. I think that's another gift that I wish I could give to everyone, is spend some time actively trying to eat and train and recover with the objective of strength and muscle. We can also focus on quality habits at that point. Anything that's going to reduce the stress load on you. So think about, a dose of stress needs a dose of recovery. And when you understand this going into the process, you won't be frustrated at plateaus. And it's funny, because with our one-on-one clients, they don't experience true plateaus. Not like a true plateau where they're stuck and they don't know what to do. Like I mentioned, every plan is on borrowed time, because at some point your body's going to adapt. But what I mean is that our one-on-one clients never have to hit that wall and feel like, oh my God, nothing's working, what do I do? Because we always ensure that we're prioritizing metabolic health so that they can continue making progress long-term. They're able to maintain their results with less effort, and it's so much more effective. And plus, it allows them to still enjoy life throughout the process by the way that we're setting things up for them. This is why, like, our coaching program, the thing that I love so much about it is that it is entirely preference-based. It's entirely personalized. So there's no such thing as, quote unquote, this doesn't work for me. You know, it's very easy when you're following a cookie cutter plan or a rule-based approach where it's like, you have to do it this way. Then it's very easy to be like, cool, I tried it that way, this doesn't work for me. But with our program, there is no this way. It's only the way that your body tells us is the way. It's only the way that you tell us is the way. Yes, we insert our expertise and guidance through that process, but it's a collaboration. It's a preference-based, personalized process. Some more alliteration for you. The result of that is, on average, our clients typically lose around 20 to 30 pounds in 6 months. And most importantly, we make sure that they have the tools to keep their results for life. We don't require hours of cardio. In fact, if you listen to the show, you know that I'm often team no cardio or little to no cardio. We don't require obsessively tracking every single morsel of food. As I said, most of our clients are going to thrive in the middle. That is what we've seen to be the most effective for most people. And we certainly don't require starvation or very low calories or suffering your way through losing body fat and achieving your goals. In fact, most of our clients, when they start with us and we go through a metabolic priming phase, they actually get leaner by eating more, which is always fun. If you are struggling and you don't know where to start, if you're struggling because you don't know if your current plan is right for you, or if you were making progress but now you're stuck, and if you're interested in finally achieving your body composition goals while being able to maintain those results for life, I want you to actually text me. I'm not going to say fill out an application. I'm not going to give you a bunch of hoops to jump through. I just want you to text me personally and give you my cell phone, my actual cell phone. It's not a fake number. This is me. It's going right to me. And I will be the one that's responding. My cell phone coming to me. I want you to text me personally, 267-994-0246. And just text me the word interested, and I will text you back, and I'll say a few things, and we'll see if it's a good fit. And if it is, we can get you started in the program. If those are your preferences, if your preference is to get leaner, if your preference is to fit better in your clothes, if your preference is to have less stress around food, to be able to live your life and achieve your results forever without having to suffer through a bunch of cardio, obsessively tracking all the time, starving yourself, none of that is required. In fact, we stay away from all of that shit on purpose because it's hurting you. It's not helping you. So if you want that forever solution that is tailored to your needs, to what your body tells us you need, then text me the word interested to 267-994-0246. It's an opportunity. You can take it or you can leave it. It is totally your choice. I will continue to show up regardless, and I will be cheering you on every step of the way. I will be hopefully providing some useful tactical advice that you can take for free. But the most certain way to achieve your goals is to jump in. We do this every day, and the results speak for themselves. We have thousands of success stories to show for it. And but it's up to you. You can text me or you cannot text me. You're either going to wake up in the morning and be really happy with your decision, or you're going to regret your decision, which is cool. We learn from those decisions. There's no right or wrong. It's just learning, because you take the step and then time passes and you realize, shit, I probably should have done that. I'm going to do it now because I don't want to waste more time. Or you take advantage and you're like, holy, thank God I made that choice, because now I'm actually seeing how this all works. I'm seeing the results that I've been wanting for a freaking decade. I feel better than I ever have. This is something that I can do forever. I'm actually really happy that I made that call. So it's going to be one of two things. There is no right or wrong. There's just learning through the process. Either way, I love you. I got you back. I'm here for you. And I will talk to you guys very soon.